It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520
KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And wow, you know, it's all about taking power of our own self. And life is always a choice. And you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And I'm so glad that you have chose to take some time out of your day to listen to us here. And I am Kim. I am your host. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008. We love to hear from you. We love to hear your input. And we love to hear if there's something that you want us to talk about. I'm willing to bring them in, because that's what it's all about, is many hands make little work. And I try to bring in great partners, is that's what I call it, partners in our life, so just so we could live at our highest potential. Right now in our studio, I want to remind you, we have Sharon Savitson, we have Marsha Hively, who are my co-hosts and guests on my show, and we also have Roland Reef right now, and he has his own studio, Natural Health Care Center in Thousand Oaks, been there for many, many years. We were just talking about that. I've actually, I had a little problem with my arm one time, and you know, went in, and he was able to cure it. And I, you know what, there's just so much to talk about. And so if you're having any kind of problems and you want to take more of the natural way about it, let's talk to Roland. Roland, let's welcome you back on.
Well, thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm very excited to be here and quite nervous.
Nah, just a little, you know, I'm not going to put pins in you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been doing it and all the amazing things that you do, because it's not just acupuncture.
That's true. Well, my base training is traditional Chinese medicine. Many, many years ago, as in literally 32 years ago, I did an apprenticeship with a Chinese master and set afoot my journey of becoming a healer or a practitioner of sorts. Took me about 6 years to final. I was in China and Japan and studied various forms of acupuncture and Oriental medicine. Came back here to the United States and finished my doctorate in Oriental medicine, and then embarked on a journey of functional medicine, which is a branch of Western medicine to support the function of the body versus the dysfunction. We certainly speak a lot about dysfunctional bodies and also dysfunctional healthcare systems and so on. But in my practice, I try to emphasize the function of the body and support the actual function versus rid the body of the dysfunction.
And so do you look at our society as being unhealthy right now?
Well, statistics says we are quite unhealthy, very much so. Yes, scary unhealthy, actually. For the last 20 years, we have taken a big dive into the department of unhealthy living. We don't just have to look at ourselves, but when we look towards India itself, which we held, you know, the Ayurvedic medicine and ancient medicines and yoga and so on, all those practices which come from those ancient lands. But then looking actually at those ancient lands, they also have taken quite a turn for the worse. Over 50-60% of Indians are today diabetics, so they don't also practice their medicine. Just as we have tons of knowledge, we have the best healthcare system, best technology, but we rank about number 17 on the world healthcare scale of how healthy we are as a people.
Can you tell us a little bit more about treating the symptom versus treating the cause?
It's called Ben and Biao. It's very well established in 3,000-year-old history in Chinese medicine. They always said, well, you can treat the symptom, which is the actual manifestation of the root. But if you want to get to the cause of things, you want to treat the root. It's kind of like when you look at a plant, you know, you bring it into Armstrong and says, what's wrong with the plants? You know, because the yellow leaves or the brown leaves. Well, they say, well, you got to look at the root, feed the root. So same thing with the body. At times as a practitioner, you have to obviously make a decision. Should I treat the acute symptoms? That's when somebody comes in and can bleed out of something and so on. You want to obviously fix that. But ultimately, you want to look at the root of things, because other things come back. They simply do.
Roland, how would you look at the root? I mean, you know, it's interesting because I, not to put, you know, medical down, but I always think they're kind of like a mechanic. If they could look, open up your hood, they could see what's wrong with you, but they can't. So they only diagnose it on what they've seen in the past.
A practical example, when you ask me that question, comes to mind. A patient came in and said, you know, carpal tunnel, and I explained what carpal tunnel is and why swelling happens and fingers go numb and you have pain in your hands and so on. But before I let the patient go, I said, well, where do you work? How do you work? Where is your computer screen? And where is your keyboard and so on? So when we sit in front of a computer for 6 to 8 hours, and either we sit well or we don't sit well, we create actually dysfunction. So the root and then the actual acute symptoms. So they come in with a carpal tunnel, but actually the root of the cause is that their keyboard is not in the right way, or that their seat is too low or too high. So they are not ergonomically adjusted. So treat the root. So I can treat that patient over and over for carpal tunnel, but unless I let that patient educate that patient where and how the chair should be in reference to the keyboard, you're not really treating the disease, we're treating just the symptom.
That makes so much sense, doesn't it?
I'm curious about something, about the success rate when you have a patient that has buy-in versus a patient that doesn't.
Buy-in, I'm sorry?
So
believe in it.
Believe in it. So if you have someone coming in for acupuncture and they don't really believe in acupuncture, and so their negative thoughts are really sending the energy into their body.
It's funny that you bring that up. There's actually many patients come in and they say, you know, I don't really believe in that. And they seem to sense that it helps to be convicted of what you're doing, obviously have passion for something. That's a good thing. But most people really don't. If they come in the first time with acupuncture, they don't come willfully. You know, being stuck with needle is not something somebody signs up willfully.
My mother-in-law is a great example. She's kind of a skeptic, and she had neck and back injuries and went through everything she could think of going through. And then her doctor said, I really think you just need to go get some acupuncture. So she went kicking and screaming, didn't believe in it, even though during the whole time she was having it. Like, I don't know, this helped at all. 2 weeks later, she was perfectly fine. She goes, well, I don't know if it helped. But I go, what do you think helped?
That she's not in pain no more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other side of that is I had a client who I actually sent her for acupuncture. And in the beginning, she was okay. And then she started to send negative energy towards it every time she'd come back. And I actually said to her, don't go. You're better off not going to acupuncture and finding something different than having this negative thought process towards. It's kind of counterproductive.
Sharon, tell what you do, just for anybody that, why you kind of always go to the thoughts. And
I'm a life coach, a life and transformation coach, but I'm also a hypnotherapist. I have master certifications in Reiki, which is energy healing, NLP, guided imagery. I work with crystals. So my work is all energy based.
Well, it's Sharon, right?
Yes,
Sharon. Well, it definitely helps if a patient believes in it or has a conviction or has a passion for it. But just as Kim said, acupuncture is beautiful that way. The body in itself, I don't think, has a choice of believing or not believing. I think it's more the mind who comes in and says, well, I have this preconceived ideas what should be or shouldn't be. If you stick the needle in the right place in the body goes, oh, yeah, thank God. Something is happening despite the mind.
So explain what acupuncture actually does.
Very good question. Not an easy answer, not an easy way to answer. We work with qi. It's spelled C-H-I or K-I and so on. That's the synonymous word for energy. Now, energy in Western society is something ambiguous. What is it? Now, the Chinese believe that there's an energy behind blood, forcing the blood through the vessels. Now, Western medicine says, well, there's that heart pumping. But granted, I mean, there's over 1,000 miles of vessels where the blood has to travel through. There has to be something behind it. And we all know there's a certain energy preceding us and around us. Like, we are all in this studio, and if we are turning our back away from the door, for example, we could still sense if there's somebody coming in, for better or worse, but we can sense that somebody, that energy. So we work with that energy and try to, and successfully at times, more or less, put the energy into certain organ system to wake them up. Now, I can't really add, I can subtract, but I can't really add energy to the body unless we use moxibustion or give you herbs, but redirect and let the body remember what it should do in the first place. Wake him up a bit.
So if you're in pain and you go for acupuncture, are you actually blocking the energy so that you don't feel the pain, or are you redirecting it? How would it happen?
Well, probably redirecting would be more the word. But energy, again, if you look at energy like a river who flows, that would be the river flows. It's nice. Energy flows nicely. If the river is dammed up, there's a dam, then the energy is blocked. That blockage creates the pain. So behind pain, there's always blockage. Now, the Chinese were good of recognizing, well, is it water blockage? Is it blood blockage? Is it qi blockage? Is it cold? Is it hot? And then I do different things because there's different pain, sharp pain, dull pain, throbbing pain. That all means something. The body gives you the signal of going, hey, my blood is stuck, meaning maybe has to move or warm it up and so on. And that gives you a different image and a different pain picture.
Wow. Okay. I mean, you know, and again, like I said, I've been to you. He's so passionate, and I love working with passionate people. So I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking to Roland Reeve right now. He is from Natural Healthcare Center in Thousand Oaks, and he is an acupuncturist. But not only that, he just has a natural way of looking at our health. And with that, I want to ask you, you know, can you be healthy and overweight?
That's a great question. Can you be healthy and overweight? Well, first of all, we probably have to define overweight. You know, there's many people who are more on the heavier scale, and we might deem them overweight. But if they are full of muscle, and we might laugh about that, but there's many people with going to the gym and they're muscle bound, they look at the scale overweight, but they're definitely healthy. Now, the opposite can be true too. You can have a relatively skinny person, but they're not skinny and muscle bound, they're more skinny and fat. You know, I make a joke at the clinic and say, well, you can't judge a salami from the outside.
Oh.
You know, is it a fatty salami or is it a skinny salami? The salami may be skinny, but there's still lots of fat in there. And so you want to know if you're a skinny fat person or a heavy skinny person, really. So, yes, you can be overweight and healthy.
So you talk about BIA. What is that? What is BIA?
BIA, it's a machine which you use. It's called body impedance analysis. It gives you 7 very important figures. It's a computer you hook up to the body. Within 30 seconds, it measures your... The main measurement from a BIA, it's actually for a dialysis, used for dialysis. We can tell how much water is inside the cell and how much water is outside the cell. As you're born, you know, the babies, they're pretty plump and they don't have wrinkles. 75% of your water is inside the cell when you're born. As we get older, the water leaves the cells, meaning the cell gets aging and it starts to become more permeable and it leaves the cell. So if you keep the water inside the cell, in some ways, you keep yourself much healthier. So looking at how much, and that's just one function of the BIA, tells me how much water is inside and how much water is outside. Go ahead.
So is this a blood test?
No, it's actually you use electrode pads on
while
the hands and foot.
You're on you yourself.
On the patient. Yes. I do that as a baseline. Then I can, you know, many patients come in and they think they are actually really, really sick, that they feel unwell. For me to determine how sick are they really? Well, if their water is out of the cells by a bigger percentage, like 40% is inside the cell and 60% is outside the cell, that's an alarm state. I need to think different.
So what would you do with somebody that...
If they have only, let's say if it's 20-year-old and they have 60% of water is outside of cell and only 40, I would send them to the emergency room.
So that's, literally. So your body needs so much water to maintain.
And
we're all water, right?
Yeah, we drink all water, right? We all drink water. And say, oh, all the ladies, they drink. Here I see, 2 bottles of water on the table. We all drink water. Well, where is that water actually going? It's not just going through you to pee it out. It actually gets inside your cell if it has the ability to do so.
So it's how your body uses the water that's important.
Absolutely. And body is synonymous with one cell. You know, how does that cell utilize that water? Can it still get it inside? It's like an aquarium. You know, your fish are healthy if the aquarium water is changed regularly. If you don't change that water, those fishes die. Well, same thing with your cells. Those cells need to change that water frequently to keep the cells healthy.
So, Roland, this is a really important test then to take, correct?
It's a very important test. It's far more important than body mass index, which we all know, the BMI, which deems then, going back to your original question, deems many patients overweight. They might be heavy and so on, but the BMI, the body mass index, says, oh, you're overweight. Well, it doesn't really tell me anything about the health of each cell or each individual.
Wow. Very interesting, isn't it? You know, Roland is going to give away one BIA analysis, which is $30, right? And then including a half an hour consultation, which is $75. And so it's a value of $105. And so what I'm going to do is have somebody call up, and we will take the name out of those at 805-419-0008, or you can email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. And, to me, a BIA, I mean, you would just want to take
that. I was going to say, if somebody doesn't do this, I'm going to.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. I think it's important.
So I have a question. Let's say you have been diagnosed with something, and I'm thinking it's breast cancer month. I've had breast cancer in the past. And the one thing that happened to me as far as having a disease, or told I had a disease, is that you're bombarded with information that you don't know which way to go, because you have all these... You have this diagnosis, you have all these things you could do, and what is
the right thing.
When is it good to come to someone like you, at the beginning of a treatment for something like a disease, or after the traditional treatment is done? When would be a good time to incorporate your kind of medicine?
Well, in the case of cancer, and if you are in a cancer treatment, timely-wise, UCLA, actually, they treat with acupuncture, purely just needle, they treat pre-chemo and post-chemo. So a day before chemo, they do acupuncture, and the day after chemo, do acupuncture. The recoup time from chemo is severely cut down by people who get acupuncture versus patients who don't. So, of course, if you're going to cancer, I don't treat cancer. I'm actually not licensed, and as an acupuncturist, we are not allowed to say we treat cancer. And quite frankly, I don't want to get into that realm. I lost my mother on cancer, and it's something emotionally I'm not want to step into the ring with somebody who has cancer. But supportive treatments are really great. Acupuncture and Chinese herbs or nutrition is phenomenal. And that's where the marriage of Western medicine versus Eastern medicine would be a great marriage. UCLA utilizes it very much.
Okay, so for me who has gone through treatment and I'm in remission, what would your services do to help me stay away from the cancer coming back, or, you know,
Staying healthy.
Well, first of all, I would probably do a BIA, you know, measure your BIA and see where all your functions is, and say, okay, let's set out the goal. Just as we heard from this Eric Papp, who said, set a goal. So the BIA will be a goal and saying, let's make your body first an optimal ground to be healthy. The BIA says, okay, do you have enough muscle mass? Do you have too much fat mass, enough muscle mass, and so on? Are your cells healthy? So we would set a goal, and every month we would take a BIA and seeing if what I'm doing or tell you to do is actually bringing the results. So we have tangible results which we can follow through and say, oh, you're making progress, versus just going on your feel sake or my estimation of, oh, you must be really doing well. The BIA is a great way to do that. Meantime, I stick to basic principles of basic health. Don't forget the basis. Going back to the basics, you know, like you just said, there's so much noise about this health and what should one do and what shouldn't one do, and we get lost. And by getting lost, we forget the basics.
Right. And really, the basics are what really brings us back to great health, correct?
Yes. And that's also instinctual. You know, we have that instinctual knowledge if we listen to it, like we heard about the noise, shutting down the noise so we hear the inner voice. Well, that's the same thing with health.
Right.
Most people, if I ask them if A is good or B is good, they know what's good for them. We don't have to re-educate everybody.
I make my clients do a chart with everything, family, friends, their lifestyle, everything else, and to put down whether they're working towards their health or whether they're working away from it in each area. Is that supporting your health or is it not supporting the health?
And I look at it, I actually have heard a saying, are you living to die or dying to live, right? And, you know, I know that I promised my listeners, oh my God, we're going to have you back because we haven't even gotten into half of all the stuff we want to talk about. But I do want to touch on male menopause. And I know that my listeners out there, you know, being a woman or a man, you know, you want to know, you know, women know about menopause, but men, is there such a thing?
Thanks for bringing that up, actually. So my clientele is mostly 80% is female because of menopause and birth and babies and everything in between. The word male menopause, which is andropause, medical jargon is andropause, meaning male sex hormones put on pause. It's a very... unspoken and it goes unnoticed mostly. I actually found out by myself when I went through male menopause. Starts around 45 average, 45, 47 starts in male, where we also go through a hormonal shift. Now we know that for the expression of a midlife crisis, and that's how I grew up. I thought, oh, you're going to have a midlife crisis eventually. But by the way, on that midlife, I reserve to be in midlife in about 65. That's when I'm going through my midlife
crisis. Are you saving for it?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to postpone that as long as I can and save up for it But no, a midlife crisis, it's not a crisis. It's a crisis maybe because as a male, we start to lose the sensation, let's say, a sexual sensation. It's not as strong, or we might not be able functioning and so on. So we look to the outside again versus to the inside and say, well, I just need a bigger stimuli. I need a younger woman or a bigger car or, you know, I need more stimuli to still get the same bang for the buck, so to say. And so we say it's a midlife crisis, but there's actually physiological changes happening which explains that. And unfortunately, most people don't know that's actually happening. And what's happening here? What is happening? Well, male get more estrogen and less testosterone. And then that discrepancy, they go into crisis. They don't recognize themselves anymore because they become actually slightly more woman and less man. And so they lose their self-esteem and lose themselves per se. Why that happens, I haven't come across literature why it happens, maybe to make us gracefully age and not be driven by this constant sex drive per se. But what happens is the testosterone starts to be converted more and more into estrogen, and that confuses our brains. And then we call it a midlife crisis.
Wow.
And, yeah, and the solution, by the way, is not a new car.
Yeah, really? You know, but
well,
so
the other thing that's very popular is taking medication for it, which is, you know, problematic at best.
Well, the sexual aids, yes, where we then also we're looking again on the outside versus on the inside. There's things you can do. Again, going back on the BIA, if you want to use that, if you keep your muscle mass up, the other source of your testosterone is your muscle mass. If you lose muscle mass, you're going to convert that muscle into fat. Now the fat is going to make more estrogen. Now you're turning more into a female. Now you need more of the blue pills. I'm glad it's out, but really, in truthful matter, if you're looking after your body, you should be able to have an active sex life, if we talk about that, till you're 80, till you're 90. There's no reason for it.
Again, we're talking about treating the symptom instead of treating the cause.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So let me just remind everybody, if they're just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Roland Reif right now. We're talking about male menopause. I mean, you know, women have it, male have it. What should we do?
What should we do? The main common denominator between women and males is actually to keep your fat mass down. If we keep our fat mass down, our hormones stay reasonably balanced, especially in male. We know male, if they get bigger bellies, then they also get breasts, which are man boobs, as we say. And yes, we should say that. It's like we should be on the lookout of going, you growing some boobs, buddy. You know, it's like that's not a good thing.
So they need to come see you.
That's one way to do it,
and
yes.
And so would you recommend them doing the BIA?
It would be a baseline and say, whoa, you have 35% fat mass if you should only have 19%. Did you know that? you know, and then working on that aggressively so that the hormones, they will balance themselves out to some extent. And then you can use herbal substances to stimulate your own testosterone and get rid of the actual estrogen, which you accumulate again in the fat.
Wow. And so... so that's kind of the way that you would take them through their, I mean, to lose the weight, to lose their stomach fat. That's so unhealthy we keep hearing about, correct?
Very unhealthy, the stomach fat. You know, it came to actually, when I went to med school, they actually taught us and said, you know, you will expect male and female to gain, you know, a half a pound to a pound over 1 year from age 45 on. We changed our mind on that. This should not be like that. Same thing with our waistline.
For women, too.
There is no tolerance that we show, oh, you're going to gain a pound a year over the next, 30 years? So you're going to be 30 pounds overweight? That's not right.
I think that's also part of the belief system. It's like there's a belief system that when you stop smoking, you will put on weight. So that's the assumption.
Exactly.
And so with the power of the mind and that belief system, it all works towards you attracting exactly that into your life.
Exactly. If you expect it, it probably will happen. You know, so first of all, don't expect it, and it might not happen. And then work against that. Also, again, with what do you expect from yourself and how do you see yourself?
Wow.
And that's then coming the active listening. Some people actually don't want to change their body. You know, some patients don't. And that's okay. It's all right.
I do, and I want to come in and see you.
Well, I don't know if they don't want to change their body. They don't want to change their lifestyle.
You nailed it
Not, yes.
Roland, give out your phone number so that my listeners can get in touch with you.
It's 805-497-4074.
Okay, and again, if you have not got your name in for one BIA analyst, that is a body impedance analyst, and that just tells where the water is going in your life, in your body, on the inside or the outside, and that is a $30 value, including a half an hour consultation with Roland, and that's a $75, so a total of $105 value. He's located in Thousand Oaks, and you definitely want to get your name in for that. Again, my phone number is 805-419-0008, 805-419-0008, or you can email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. I look forward to talking with you. Also, stay with us because we are going to bring our next guest on, and I hope I say her name right, Tirona. And Low Dog, and she is an MD, and her book is Life is Your Best Medicine. We're going to kind of carry on with that. And A Guide to Health, Healing, and Wholeness at Every Age. So stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally. On News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. I do want to let you know that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We were just talking with Roland Reeve, and he is an acupuncturist. We've got Sharon Savidson, who is a life coach, and Marsha Hively. And we're talking about our life. We're talking about that we always have a choice. My next guest is coming on right now, and Tarona Lodog is her name. She is an MD. Her book is Life is Your Best Medicine, A Woman's Guide to Health, Healing, and Wholeness at Every Age. I do want to let you know about a wellness expo that is coming up. There's going to be over 50 exhibitors dedicated to helping you create the life you deserve. And that is going to be Saturday, October 20th. And from 10 to 3, and that is over at 880 Hampshire Road, Westlake. I am actually sponsoring this, and I will be there too, so you don't want to miss this opportunity. And admission is free. So definitely you will be able to get in touch with me if you have any questions about it. 805-419-0008. Sharon will actually be there too.
I'll be there too. Yeah. It's going to be really good.
Yeah, there's some amazing people. And definitely, I'd love you to be a part of that. Let's bring our next guest on. Is it Tarona?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And you actually had a chronic illness, right? That is that right? No.
No, I have epilepsy, but I don't think of that really.
No, I don't think of that
term.
Either. Yeah. So no, but there are a lot of chronic illnesses now affecting more than 50% of the American population, correct?
Well, you know, chronic disease is actually much higher than that.
Oh.
And you know, the interesting thing, or I think the good news is that much of the chronic disease that we see today actually can be prevented by the way we live our lives, which I think you and your guests were all talking about, is the fact that it's the everyday stuff of our lives that really impact our well-being and our health. And when I was young, my grandmother told me that, you know, when you're born, you're set upon a road, and that road is your medicine path. It's your medicine road. And that everything you do in your life affects you, everything. The things that you eat, the thoughts that you think, the words that you speak, all of this impacts the way you're going to feel in the world. And I believe that. And so much in Western medicine, before I was a physician, a medical doctor, I had trained as a massage therapist. I was a midwife. I was an herbalist. I was president of the American Herbalist Guild for a number of years back. And so when I went on to become a physician, it was really because I felt that that was the last piece that I really needed, that last piece in this whole medicine circle to help people get well. What was a bit disenchanting is in Western medicine, most of this is reduced to fixing things once they're already broken. You know, once you have heart disease, then we give you medication. Once you have, you know, diabetes, then we put you on metformin. And I actually am much more interested in helping people maintain wellness before they get sick.
I'm right there with you. And really, that's what my whole show is about, is really, you know, living life at our fullest potential so that we don't have to go down that road.
No, you don't. And it is, you know, some things we have. We have illnesses. You know, I've had cancer. Like many people, we do get sick and we go on. We get better. The good Lord willing. I mean, that's what, you know, the expression is. But
of course,
I think the main thing that we have to always hold on to is that in our own lives, we have to be responsible for ourselves. We have to take accountability for the way that we live our lives. Women will come into my office and just, you know, before we ever really get going on lifestyle changes, I will just ask them. I'm like, you know, you tell me that, you know, you're concerned about your weight, you're concerned about your blood sugar, you've got these concerns, you know, but I just want to ask you a question before we get started. Can you name one thing in your life that you take really, really great care of that you hate?
My dog.
You know, that usually they look at me like, what? You know, I'm like, I said, no, just name one thing you lovingly tend and devote your attention to that you can't stand.
I can tell you one. I have a dog that's very annoying.
A dog. Well, now that's interesting. I would say if you hate your dog, it's probably not a good idea to keep the dog.
I don't hate him. He just has a problem going to the bathroom on the floor. But,
yeah. You know. Oh, well, dear. Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay. Separate show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think the point here is that most women don't like themselves. They don't like their butt. They don't like their size. They don't like their job. They don't like their relationships. Mm-hmm. And most of all, deep down, they don't love themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's possible to really make all the changes and keep all the changes that you're really going to make if you don't have, at least at the core, some sense of deep self-love. I believe that with all my heart.
I believe that too. And yeah. I believe I really, you know, what I love about it is life is your best medicine. And really that's what you're kind of talking about, is if you don't love and honor your journey, you're not investing in yourself. And so many of us look at everything as the negative instead of going, I am so blessed to be here.
I remember somebody saying to me, the only person you have from the moment you're born to the day you die is yourself. Everybody else is a gift, but you need to take care of the biggest gift of all, which is yourself.
Yes.
And I tell my clients, you know, I say to them, this is Sharon, you would never treat your daughter the way that you treat yourself.
Yes. Yes. I believe that. And you know, but that's also an important message for women. I'm a mother of an adult girl, daughter. And, you know, I remember when she was young and we were, I don't know, she was 10, 11 years old, and we were going on a vacation. We went down to the mall and I was trying on bathing suits. She goes, Mom, come out, let me see. You know, she was trying on her swimsuits, you know, and I was like, no, it's okay, you know.
Yeah. I'm never going to wear it anyways, right? No.
She's like, Mom, come out and let me see it. I'm like, no, it's okay. She goes, Mom, you're going to have to wear it to the beach. You know, it's like, let me see. And I thought, oh my God, what am I teaching her?
What's my message? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So true.
How are you leading?
What am I teaching her about how she should feel about her body if this is the way I'm behaving about my own? And if I'm not happy with my body, well, then I need to figure out what to do with it. Otherwise, I need to learn to be content with who I am.
So true. And I'm a hair therapist. And so I have so many people that sit in front of me, they pull all the negative things out about themselves. And I go, okay, let's start all over. What are all the positive things that you love about yourself? And they look at me like I'm crazy. And so I start looking at them. You have beautiful eyes, you know, your cheeks, your skin, and they're like, really? I'm telling them, like, you know, I'm talking a foreign language. And so many people, we really have to look inside and honor the things that we've been given. So I love where this is going. I just want to remind everybody that if you are just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Dr. Tirona. Did I get that right? Oh, good. Low Dog, and her book is Life is Your Best Medicine. I love that because, you know what? We need to honor. I mean, the way I wake up every morning is today is another gift. And how am I going to spend it? And what am I going to do to honor it? So.
Well, it is. And, you know, and I think for women in particular, we are the ones that still primarily provide and make health decisions for our families. You know, we're often, not always, but often the job of raising the children, even if we're working inside or outside the home, raising the children, still a lot falls to us. Purchasing of food, cooking food, a lot of this still falls to us. And so really, really trying to sort of say, you know, when I get up in the morning and I face my day, you know, what is my intention? What is the intention in which I'm going to live this day today? And you know, it's like I travel. I'm in New York right now, and I was traveling here, and it was like there was not a lot of choices at the airport for food.
For food, okay.
And
yeah.
There was not. And so I bought a little fruit thing at one of the stores. It's like $5 for, you know, 4 pieces of cantaloupe, a couple honeydew melons. I mean, there's hardly anything in these little things. It's outrageous. You could get, for half the price, you could get a huge muffin. 700 calories, half the price that I could get for this little thing.
So, Dr. Chirona, what did you pick? The fruit, right?
Oh, I bought the fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
The muffin?
I'm not a huge muffin lover.
Okay, either one, yeah.
Well, you know, but part of this is, for me, my total calories in a day for my height, my weight, my age, is around 1,600 calories. That's
so,
it.
1,600
calories.
So do you count your calories every day?
I don't really count my calories because I counted my calories when I was a lot younger. So I sort of have a pretty good idea of how many calories are in food. I follow more of a glycemic load diet. I try to eat lower on the glycemic load, so really being careful with things like pastas and breads and potatoes, white rice, all the white things. I think the data is pretty clear that, you know, you need to really limit those if you want to keep your blood sugar stable, you want to reduce your risk for heart disease, you want to reduce your risk for diabetes, and you want to reduce your risk for cancer. Especially certain cancers that seem to be driven by these insulin-like growth factors that are released when you eat diets that are very, very high in refined carbohydrates.
I find it very interesting that we've had two doctors on today, and both of them are talking about the inside out. And how you go through medical school, and I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong, that medical school does not necessarily teach you the way you're talking about today. How did you come to this from going through traditional medical school?
But I didn't go to medical school until I was much older. I had already gone to massage school in the 1970s. I was already practicing as a midwife. I had an herbal practice. I mean, so I went to medical school after I'd already had a life in what people call complementary and alternative medicine. I think that it's easier to do it that way than it is an 18-year-old go to college, then to medical school, and then through traditional medical training, because I think then that's all you've had. There's no training in nutrition. There's virtually no training in, mind-body medicine and mind-body therapies. The closest we get is psychiatry, and that has really very little to do with mind-body. Mm-hmm. It has much mm-hmm. to do with medication.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think since I was very young, especially from my grandmother, I was very drawn to nature. I was very drawn to plants, especially the therapeutic benefits, the healing benefits of herbal medicine. And that was my passion for much of my life. And it still remains much of my passion. I chair the United States Pharmacopeia Dietary Supplement Safety Panel. And
Dr.
Their information panel for many years.
What I want to ask you is, in your book, you say, "What's in my kitchen?" Okay, prescription from you. Healthy whole food as opposed to organic. What's your thought on that?
Well, I don't know that they're mutually exclusive. I prefer organic whole food.
Right. Exactly.
And preferably local. I like local organic whole food. I was amazed when this whole study came out not long ago on organics, and it got all the news. Everybody was all a Twitter about it. It's like organics are not higher in certain vitamins and minerals. Mm. And that was the news. And I was thinking, wow, you guys are missing the boat. Mm-hmm. Most people I know are not buying organic food because we think it has more vitamin C. We're buying it for what it doesn't have, not what it does.
Correct. Roland, I know you can actually, because we talked about that before, right, Roland?
Yes, we have talked about organic food and also how they're grown, and that this plant actually learns from the environment and delivers that message also to the body when you eat it ultimately. So it's not just to have more vitamins, just like you say.
And so what are your suggestions? I mean, if you're on a budget, if you're on a tight budget, organic food is more expensive.
Well, you can always grow it yourself,
too. It depends upon what you're buying. And, I think the Environmental Working Group does a very good job of helping list kind of the dirty dozen and the clean 15 and everything in between. I mean, there's not a lot of reasons to buy organic cantaloupe, organic honeydews. I mean, there's a lot of produce that you can buy that you don't have to buy organic that are still going to be very, very low in any kind of pesticide. Some of us prefer to buy a lot of things organic because we are financially able to do it. And we want to keep that down even from a global perspective. But for an individual buying for themselves who's on a budget, using the Environmental Working Group, every year they update the clean 15 and the dirty dozen.
So
these are the 12 foods you shouldn't eat conventional because
right.
they're too high in pesticides.
So let's go through the dirty dozen. Apples, celery, strawberries, peaches, spinach, nectarines, grapes, sweet bell peppers, potatoes, blueberries, lettuce, and kale. So those are
And remember, those change. So those are the
right.
ones, the most recent ones. Yes.
So those are the dirty dozen so that you why are they called the dirty dozen?
Because they are highest. The Department of Agriculture has to actually do sampling to test which produce are highest in pesticides. They're required to do that. And every year, then it changes, sort of. You know, some of these are always on it, but
right.
It changes. They're the dirty dozen because they're dirtiest in pesticides, meaning they have very high pesticide levels. I tell women, if you're pregnant or childbearing, hoping you're going to be pregnant, or you've got a child under the age of 8, the dirty dozen, you should really try to make sure that you're trying to get those organic, or you try to purchase those that are on the clean 15.
Or grow them in your yard, like you were just saying, Roland. I mean, I started my own garden. I love that.
Well, if you have a problem with finances, you may not have an area to have a garden either.
Yeah, but actually, you can do it in pots. I mean, there's a lot of ways. And now they have the community gardens,
right,
which are amazing too. Let's go over the clean 15. So no, those ones are the lowest in pesticide, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so onions,
yep,
sweet corn, pineapples, avocado, asparagus, sweet peas, mangoes, eggplant, cantaloupe, kiwi, cabbage, watermelon, sweet potatoes, grapefruit, and mushrooms. So those you should buy organic?
Those, the clean 15, mean that they're very, 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 very low in pesticide, and those can be purchased conventional or organic.
That's really interesting. So that's a really good guide there. Okay.
So people who are on a budget, those are good ways to try to help if you're pinching the pennies and counting those pennies. And every year you can just download the list. They keep it updated. You just print it off, put it in your purse, and then when you go down and you're going shopping, mm-hmm, just look for those that are on the clean 15.
Very cool. Now, you talk a little bit about herbal medicines, right? And give us we have a couple minutes left. What would you say are the most important to use?
Well, I think that really depends upon the individual. I think people would be, it's a good idea just to add more herbal teas to your diet, right? Just to have more herbs that you drink as a beverage. There's a lot of companies now that make wonderfully blended teas, you know, Yogi and traditional medicinals and a number of these that are sort of therapeutic teas that taste good. So have some for relaxation, have some for energy, have some that you can sort of take throughout the day based on what you're needing. You know, if you're coming down with a cold, keep some teas around. I drink a lot of lemon balm. I grow it in my garden. I love fresh Melissa tea. That's lemon balm. It tastes great. It reduces anxiety. It's good for your stomach. So that's one I love. I love peppermint, but I make my peppermint tea different than most people. I just make what we call a cold infusion. It tastes much better. You just put the peppermint, fresh peppermint, or the tea bags of peppermint, put them in a little pitcher of just cold water, and let them sit for 30 to 45 minutes or until the water tastes nice and minty. And this isn't really a tea. I just call it peppermint water. It has such a clean, refreshing taste to it. There is nothing better on a hot day.
Oh, that sounds really good. A lot of people don't like to just drink water, so they add a little peppermint to it. So I think that's good. What is
so nice.
Milk thistle for your liver?
Milk thistle is a member of the thistle family. The fruit or the seeds are taken and they're extracted and put into a sort of a kind of a potent form, a standardized extract. And milk thistle actually protects the liver from toxic damage. So people who do a lot of hair, people who do nails, people who work with solvents, and certainly individuals who may be taking medications that are dangerous for the liver or who drink too much, milk thistle protects the liver cells from damage. We're studying it in the government right now at the NIH, looking at it for can it be beneficial for people with hepatitis, you know, a viral damage to the liver. The evidence is not as strong there. The best evidence is really for toxins, things that are harmful for the liver. And, you know, it's interesting. Milk thistle is one of the few antidotes that we know of in the world for death cat mushroom poisoning, Amanita phalloides.
Do you have to be careful of any kind of toxic, can you take as much as you want, or do you have to be very careful with it?
It actually has a great safety profile, and at the doses that are typically used, which are about 420 milligrams of the standardized extract per day, those doses are extremely safe, and they also do not interact with drugs at that dose.
Really?
Very good safety data. I use it a lot for my patients who are, on taking statins. Kara Kelly at Columbia did a wonderful study in children who were undergoing chemotherapy, And when they started, when their liver started to show signs of toxicity, they were randomized to either get a placebo or milk thistle. The children that got the milk thistle, the enzymes began to trend back into the normal range, allowing the children to finish their chemotherapy. So again, I think we're going to see a lot more use for milk thistle in the future. I think it. We have no equivalent to that in Western pharmaceuticals. We have nothing that's similar.
So I'm a hair therapist, and I'm always dealing with, you know, different products and stuff like that. So you would recommend that I would take that every day as a supplement?
I would.
Wow, yeah, because there's so many products now that have formaldehyde in it. I mean, there's one that I refuse to be in the salon or use that anymore for my clients. Or, you know, I mean, at first I was the first one to use a mask. But so
well. Okay. And it's not just the liver. The newest data actually shows that it seems to have almost the same protective benefit to the kidney. So both liver and kidney. I, you know, it's like one of the gals who does my nails. I'm always bringing her.
I was thinking, I just got in a car accident and I've had to take Advil around the clock for, you know, 4 days. And I was just thinking this would probably be helpful with that because I know Advil can be really hard on your liver also.
Yes. Well, same with Tylenol. Yes. Right. I was just going to say, my husband's had brain surgery, so he had a lot of Tylenol. So he could just start taking this now, correct? And that would help him.
Absolutely.
You know,
I love,
we have a couple minutes left. I love at the end here, you have wise words. And do you have your book in front of you or? Probably
no,
not. You're at the airport or somewhere, right? But you say here, if you're struggling with a high level of negative self-talk, consider getting cognitive behavior therapy. Go to psychologytoday.com to find a licensed therapist in your area. You know, I mean, really, it really starts in the way we think about ourselves. And this is what I talk to so many people about, is you really have to like yourself, talk nice to yourself, and then on top of it, feed your body good stuff. And so it's all about, you know, I mean, my favorite saying and what I stand for is to look good, feel good, do good. And I love all of the great, you know, advice and all the great knowledge in your book. Where do we find your book?
Well, I was delighted to work with National Geographic. This is a book I did with National Geographic, Life is Your Best Medicine. It's on Amazon. And also, you can go to my website, drlowdog.com, and we have links to the book and some of the other books that we've done, as well as that's where you can contact me if you have any questions.
Wow. And, you know, I'd love to have you back. There's so much more to talk about. Now, is this your – this isn't obviously your only book, correct?
No. Yeah. I have several other books as well.
Okay. I'm going to look you up, and we'll get you back on because there's so much more to talk about. So
thank you so much, Kim, and your entire team. What a wonderful group.
Thank you, and thank you for your knowledge and your dedication to, you know, life is your best medicine. So thank you
so much.
All right. You have been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I just want to take a moment to thank all of you for spending your time with us here on my show, The Kim Pagano Show, adding value every day in every way. And I do want to give out our phone number again, 805-419-0008. That is my personal number. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you love about my show, or if there's something that you would like to hear different, or something that's, you know, going on in your life that you need that I will bring on for you. Also, you can always email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. I want to thank Roland for being a part of my show. Roland, give out your phone number really quick.
My phone number for the Natural Healthcare Center is 805-497-4074.
Okay, great. And thank you so much. I'm definitely going to have you back. You have so much knowledge. We didn't even touch on, you know, any of it. I mean, there's just so much more. So, Sharon, give out your phone number.
818-744-5859.
And again, remind everybody what it is that you do.
I am a life coach, a transformation and life coach. I'm a hypnotherapist. I'm a Reiki master. I do guided imagery, NLP. I'm all about wellness and energy.
Okay, perfect. And Marcia, thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm just here asking the questions you all want answered.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's really about that. I mean, what my show is all about is just finding great guests, great people in our community that can help us make our life live at our highest potential. So I'm so glad that you've been a part of it. And again, I want to let you know that you want to spend your money right here where we live, and that's what it's all about. Take care of the people that take care of us. So, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment, and today's is, your growth is a process of trial and error and experimentation. And that is by Dave Kohler. And you know what? I mean, everything we talked about today is just, you know, it's amazing. I've learned so much, and that's what I love having these amazing guests on.
There's one thing that I really would want to stress is be mindful of your language and your words. You know, when someone says, this person's a pain in the neck, and then lands up with a pain in the neck, just the energy translates into dis-ease in your body. So be mindful of saying words, you know, move towards what you do want and not away from what you don't want. And be very positive in your thoughts and your words.
There you go. And again, if you are just tuning into my show, I want to remind you that you can hear any of my past shows on my website, which is kimpaganoshow.com. And of course, our show was all about life is always a choice. And I hope you choose to make it a great one. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I'll talk to you next Saturday from 2 to 4.
This is your Ventura101.com weekend datebook for October 13th and 14th. Brought to you by The Kim Pagano Show on KVTA, I'm Jocelyn Rohrbach. All weekend long, the Conejo Valley Open Studio Tour and the Ojai Open Studio Tour take place at selected galleries in Ventura County. Also this weekend, the Santa Barbara Seafood Festival happens in Santa Barbara, and the Seaside Highland Games take place at the Ventura Fairgrounds. Tonight and tomorrow, Oxnard's First Presbyterian Church presents a free will offering community concert to benefit Ventura County homeless. Artbeat Second Saturdays happens tonight in downtown Oxnard. Tomorrow, join KVTA's own Tom Spence at the Walk to Defeat ALS in downtown Ventura. And also tomorrow, the Ventura Harbor hosts the Ponies by the Sea Mustang Car Show. For more info about any of these events and even more happening this weekend in Ventura County, visit us online at Ventura101.com or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Ventura101.